This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.
You don't bring people up here to Tallahassee if there's not a deal already in place.
A secret agreement ends the bickering over corporate welfare and the shady deals made by those so-called Tallahassee politicians.
The Republican members in general seem to be satisfied with the overall broad concept of the deal. It's just a lot of people are wondering why it couldn't have been done earlier.
The Orlando Sentinel's Gray Roar is here to discuss Governor Rick Scott's vetoes and call for a special session.
I was elected to represent the citizens of Pittsburgh, not Paris.
Following President Trump's global blowback after pulling out from the Paris Climate Agreement, he finds support from some Democrats in his America First agenda.
We have to make America competitive again if we're going to increase the gross national product and the wealth and the health of our economy.
Barney Bishop, former executive director of the Florida Democratic Party, says he's on board with the Republican plan for tax reform. All that and more coming up on episode 108 of The Rotunda. If this is your first time listening to this program, allow me to roll out the red carpet and officially welcome and thank you for subscribing. This award-winning podcast is unique. There is nothing else like it following the people and issues shaping the Sunshine State. Well, I must give a nod to my former public radio program, Capitol Report, on the Florida Public Radio Network. But this is your podcast. We blend breaking news and in-depth interviews with Florida's most influential and the people holding them accountable. So take a moment to check out our 2+ year journey to this point. Interact with us. Follow us on social media at Rotunda Podcast. Visit our website, rotundapodcast.com, and leave comments on our episode. We always like to hear what you think about our stories. All right, as I've said before, when it comes to politics, an enemy today could very well be a friend tomorrow. And that all played out recently following months of fighting between Governor Rick Scott and House Speaker Richard Corcoran.
Politicians in Tallahassee don't get it. They don't understand how jobs are created. If the politicians in Tallahassee say they don't want to market our state, then we lose to
sports stadiums and big corporations. A sweetheart deal for them. A major league ripoff for us. Thankfully, Richard Corcoran stood up for us and killed those bad deals. Stand with Richard Corcoran to end corporate welfare for good.
Governor Scott painted Corcoran and legislators as out-of-touch politicians while Corcoran gutted Scott's business incentive and the state's marketing program. But now they are once again singing the same song. My guess, they are probably jamming out to Pitbull's Sexy Beaches. Governor Scott ended his threats to veto the entire budget by agreeing to a new deal with Speaker Corcoran, which includes calling lawmakers back to Tallahassee for a special session June 7th through the 9th.
So it'll be three things in the session. First will be increasing the funding for FEFP. My goal is to increase it by $100. We also talked about a Visit Florida and EFI bills that would have more accountability and transparency. For Visit Florida, we will have the goal of $76 million worth of funding for them. So we continue to grow tourism. We had a good first quarter, record tourism again. We've got to keep that up. It's one out of every six jobs in the state. Then last, we'll have a Florida Growth Grant Fund, which will be tied to infrastructure and job training, which will help us get more jobs. And that will be for $85 million.
Gray Roar with the Orlando Sentinel Tallahassee Bureau.
So we've been sitting here waiting for the veto list from the governor to come down. We were waiting, and then it finally hit. What do you make of it?
I think it's about what everybody expected once the deal for the special session was announced, that there were going to be a bunch of projects that are typically cut, even in regular years. This is a an atypical year, but as far as the veto list itself, it was not, and I haven't gone through every single line of it, but there was nothing too abnormal that stuck out to me, at least. The thing that was weird is just the fact that there had to be an agreement like this itself, and that he's vetoing the school budget and bringing him back to put more money in schools as part of this grand bargain that they had to do in the first place.
So I see a total of around like $12 billion in vetoes that came down, and universities seem to be hit pretty hard.
The overall deal, Governor Scott needed a bunch of money to pay for these things, like $200 million for more for education, K-12 schools, and getting the extra $51 million for Visit Florida in there, and the extra $85 million for, well, we don't know what, some sort of growth fund that pays for infrastructure. In order to get all that money, he needed a big veto list. It turns out, I think it's about $410 million. So to get that money, you got to go where the money is, and the university's got a bunch of money for a bunch of projects.
So what happens to the overall budget with, like, you know, it was an 82 something billion dollars total, and now we have this $12 billion cut. How does the balancing act go forward from here?
Well, the overall main budget bill was, as you say, $82.4 billion, but there are other conforming bills out there, like the education bill that has an extra $419 million in spending, and there's a healthcare bill out there that included the LIP funding, among other things, so that's another $1.5 billion right there. The overall amount of spending that will be done by Florida state government next year is a moving target still at this point.
Everyone is wondering what's going to happen with this education conforming bill. It's not here, to be clear. It's not included in this list of vetoes. So what do you expect to happen with that? When will we find out?
Well, we'll find out after the special session. I mean, that bill is sort of permeating everything right now.
So what I've said is I'm reviewing 7069. I think it's important that we have we focus on the education system for all students in our state, and that's what I'm going to do.
The governor, in his remarks today, didn't say that it was a done deal and he's still reviewing it, but if you can read between the lines, I don't see a reason why Speaker Corcoran would agree to put more money back into Visit Florida after he had spent a lot of political capital fighting the governor over that very point, unless he was going to get that bill signed, since that was his baby, basically.
This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes, chatting with the Orlando Sentinel's Gray Roar in the Florida Press Center.
So let's jump right into it. Special session. We're going to have a special session. They're coming back. What will they address? What will come out of this three-day session?
For one thing, it looks like they're going to put more money into education. We've gone over that. More money for Visit Florida, basically keeping them at level funding. The other aspect to that, though, is that the governor is going to veto a bill related to Visit Florida that it really imposed a lot of more strictures over what they could and couldn't do as far as their operation. The bill out there that he's going to veto now is Visit Florida would have needed legislative approval for any contract more than $750,000. Okay, so that's going to go away. The House and Speaker Corcoran say that they're going to do a new bill that replaces those transparency measures and accountability measures with other ones. But what that looks like, we won't know until the session's over. The other stuff that's out there is this growth fund, which is for economic development, but it's not direct business incentives, it sounds like. I think a lot of members, Democrats especially, kind of want to see what the bill language on that looks like.
What are you hearing from people reacting to this call for special session? What are they saying so far? What are you seeing as far as the chatter since this was announced that they're going to have this special session, bring everyone back? And I saw a little bit of people complaining about the cost to have them back here. What are you hearing?
From early returns, it looks like Democrats aren't too happy at all. The teachers union isn't satisfied with more money going into the K-12 schools. They still want 7069 vetoed. It's not a good enough deal for them. Republican members in general seem to be satisfied with the overall broad concept of the deal. It's just a lot of people are wondering why it couldn't have been done earlier.
Who are the winners and losers out of this special session call? Who compromised the most or had to give up to concessions to make this happen?
That's a tough call. It's not clear cut. I mean, everyone had to give up something, and everyone's getting something in a certain sense. It doesn't sound like the governor would have signed HB 7069 if not for the legislature coming back and putting more money to Visit Florida. So, you know, without that, Corcoran wouldn't have gotten that bill.
Which is still unknown.
Well, yes, right. And so
the education
bill. We'll see if that's how it turns out. And then, you know, the incentive fund, House Speaker Corcoran is making sure that everyone knows that those aren't direct incentives and that it's not going through Enterprise Florida. It's going through Department of Economic Opportunity. So it's sort of a wash there. As far as winners and losers, it remains to be seen, I would say.
With the call for a special session, many noticed that the voter-mandated call for lawmakers to address medical marijuana was an afterthought. House Speaker Richard Corcoran.
Obviously, when 71% of the voters have called for something, that there should be no reason why we can't reach agreement and get that done. And so my hope is that it'll be added to the call.
They didn't get it done in the regular session, and they don't want to leave it to, you know, unelected bureaucrats to solve. So it sounds like everybody wants to get it done. It's just whether or not they come to an agreement to include it in the call for the special session.
So they really want to have an agreement before even bringing it to the floors. Why not hash it out through the process?
They tried that the regular way during the session, and it didn't work out that way. So it would be even that more embarrassing if they're going to include it in the call just to fall on their faces again. So, you know, they didn't call this deal until the deal was done either. So, you know, you don't bring people up here to Tallahassee if there's not a deal already in place.
What does that say? It's a transparency. That's a whole nother topic. So these deals are made, and then they come here, and then they just put the finishing touches on it.
I think that's a question for some members of the House and the Senate as far as how they feel about the leadership and the decisions that were made.
All right. Well, Gray Rohr, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. Please visit rotundapodcast.com, click on the upper right-hand corner, and submit your generous donation of any amount to this program. And as always, thanks for your support.
As of today, the United States will cease all implementation of the non-binding Paris Accord and the draconian financial and economic burdens the agreement imposes on our country.
President Donald Trump dominated the global headlines, with many criticizing his decision to simply pull out of the Paris Climate Agreement instead of offering up a new plan or a proposal for consideration. Trump continues to lack unified support for his policies, but there might be a glimmer of hope in one area.
My job as president is to do everything within my power to give America a level playing field and to create the economic, regulatory, and tax structures that make America the most prosperous and productive country on earth.
Despite not offering up any details about an actual bill with a framework, Trump touted one anyway during the same Paris pullout speech.
Our tax bill is moving along in Congress, and I believe it's doing very well. I think a lot of people will be very pleasantly surprised.
Well, a lot of people are surprised, particularly Republicans, because there isn't a proposal from the White House for them to work with, unless Trump is claiming the House proposal is his own.
The Republicans are working very, very hard. We'd love to have support from the Democrats, but we may have to go it alone.
Actually, there is a bit of support from some Democrats to help Trump's efforts.
It's people that look and think and sound like me and others that believe that we've got to focus again on America, not saying that we don't want to do anything else with any of the rest of the world, but let's focus on America first. Let's get us straight, because if we can, and if we can pump up our economy, put people to work, and be competitive in the world, everything else will ultimately take care of itself.
Barney Bishop is a small business owner of Barney Bishop Consulting. Also, he's the immediate past president of the Associated Industries of Florida.
I'm a conservative Democrat who believes in trade, but I think that President Trump has made it clear that it has to be fair trade that's as good as for us as it is for them. I'm not sure that's always been the case, and I think that's an important component of this, but will have to be negotiated simultaneously on a parallel path at the same time we're doing tax reform.
A conservative Democrat that believes in trade.
Yes. And there's a lot of us, a lot of Democrats believe in trade, but a lot of conservative Democrats were fiscally conservative, were socially moderate. And so we're what would be referred to as Reagan Democrats or Blue Dogs. And we've been around for a real long time, and there's a lot of us. Frankly, it is people like conservative Democrats and conservative independents and Republicans who elected this president. It wasn't your liberal Democrats, because obviously they were on the other side. It wasn't the liberal independents either.
Bishop, who is also the former executive director of the Florida Democratic Party, is on a mission.
So you are trying to get Congress to do something. Essentially, what I'm seeing, you're saying they should do what America deserves. And what is that?
That is, Tramiel, is tax reform, which hasn't been done for over three decades and is desperately needed, because America is uncompetitive on the world market. We're at a 39% tax bracket. Other countries around the world are now down to 22%, and that makes a 17% difference. So then you take that, the difference in how strong the dollar is, or how strong the yuan is, or the pound, or the euro, whatever those things are, and that makes our products more competitive, more expensive when we export them, or when we import something. And that's the problem that we have. We have to make America competitive again if we're going to increase the gross national product and the wealth and the health of our economy.
Well, right now there's a whole lot going on in Washington. Do you think they will have enough time to focus on this?
Yes, I do. I mean, they're still going to take their August recess and all their vacations and stuff. But yes, I think that the Republican majority in both the House and the Senate understand that if America is going to keep them in power in both of those chambers, that they're going to have to make something happen. That means something on health care, obviously, because that's a huge component of our economy. But just as importantly, and perhaps maybe even more importantly, is the tax structure, because we've got so many loopholes, we've got so many exemptions, that we need to make sure that, number one, everybody's paying their fair share, but that we're not paying anything more than we have to, and that whatever we do, we've got to create jobs. We've got to heat up our economy, and we've got to make us competitive on a global scale.
This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramiel Gomes, chatting with Barney Bishop, president of Barney Bishop Consulting.
So when will this get moving? When do you foresee any action in real tax reform as you would like to see it?
Yeah, I think that we should be seeing that in the summertime here. Certainly next month in July, I would expect that you would see those things. It would be very important. And so we'll see some signals along the road, but the House is going to go about doing what they want to do. The Senate's going to do what they want to do. The president's got his plan. And so the amalgamation of all of those, it'll certainly go to budget conference between the two chambers, and in that process, we'll have the ability to kind of see what the parameters are of what it's all going to look like.
And you really believe we'll be able to focus on that with everything else that's going, we haven't really gotten into policy.
But I mean, I think if the Republicans want to stay in power, they're going to have to do this.
thanks to Barney Bishop of Barney Bishop Consulting and the Orlando Sentinel's Gray Roar. That's it for this edition of The Rotunda. Remember to follow us at Rotunda Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Also, check us out at rotundapodcast.com, where you can contribute to this program and suggest topics and story ideas. And as always, be sure to join us again next week for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.